To become a masterful and powerful speaker, you must become a master story catcher. And what I do is I actually catch the story ideas as they bubble up just in a note on my phone, so that if I do have to produce new content, I have this whole own personal library of stories that I can go and draw on to build out. Welcome to the Speaker Driven Business Podcast for the entrepreneurs, the subject matter experts, and the difference makers who want to unlock the power of speaking-driven strategies to accelerate impact, influence, and revenue. I'm your host, Jacqueline Nagel, and this is the place for straight-talking, easy-to-implement 20-minute or less business, speaking, and communications insights and lessons, which will help you break through from unheard of to in demand. Let's go. Welcome to episode 22 of the Speaker Driven Business Podcast, where we are taking you deeper into understanding all of the elements about how to become a masterful storyteller. In this particular episode, we're going to be unpacking the five key story types that we use in speaking. Now, there are other story types that we use in other areas, but this is specifically relating to our keynote structures, particularly our main stage and our subject matter expert keynotes. These are the five stories that we actually want you to know about to really strengthen your position. If we think back to episode 19, we spoke about pure form keynote and the structure, and that the first 25 to 35% of any of your speeches should open and be spent in storytelling mode and in pure storytelling mode. This is not where we instruct. This is not where we teach. This is not where we land the messages and summarize. This is where we tell stories in such a way that our audience can step in beside us, that they can say, I trust you, that they can say, I feel connected to you, that they move beyond saying, I like you, to seeing that they are like you. And this is one of the most important parts of how we actually elevate our speaking. When we're also in pure form keynote structure, before we shift to breaking into frameworks, we also have a very specific format that we open our stories. We bring three stories in on the way in to fill that 25 to 35%, and they are in pure form in a specific order, which I'm going to explain to you in a moment. Now, I've mentioned already that there are five key story types that we use in this form of speaking, and I want you to know before we unpack them that you will be naturally predisposed to two to three story types, but I want you to build your muscle across all of them. Because it is in actually building your muscle across all storytelling types that you become more masterful across the board, that you are able to actually expand that reach of your influence. It's super, super important that you do so. Also understand that to become a masterful and powerful speaker, you must become a master story catcher. Now, this is making sure that you're actually catching ideas all the time from the stories that happen in the everyday. The powerful speaking happens when we're able to draw on stories that come from our real lived experience, our real worked experience, and our observations of the world around us. Now, how I make sure that I'm story catching all the time is in my phone, I have notes. Actually, I have a lot of notes, hands up if you're just like me, but I have a specific folder full of notes that is all about the story ideas that I catch as they arise. And that might be something I observe. That might be something that's sparked by something, a conversation or being at an event. That might be something I come across. It may actually be about one of my clients. And what I do is I actually catch the story ideas as they bubble up just in a note on my phone, so that if I do have to produce new content, or if I do want to share new stories, or if I do need to find different stories for something that I'm doing, I have this whole almost like my own personal library of stories that I can go and draw on to build out. So that's how I do it. And I highly recommend if you really invest in becoming a powerful speaker that you learn to do the same. So let's hook back to these stories. They actually sit as we're coming in. Now, some of these stories will be used throughout the other parts of your keynote, but the stories that we're talking about hook into the opening, the three stories coming in. The first one is global. Now, this story, and I'm actually doing the first three stories I'm going to share with you, are if we think about coming in story time in our speeches, it's literally story one, story two, story three. So the first story that we open with is a global. It's a blockbuster. It is something that is bigger than the room. So by global, I might well mean something that is a global story or global headline or global research or global trending or global data. The simple fact of the matter is that it is bigger than the room. And that's why sometimes it's referred to as your blockbuster story, because sometimes your personal experience is bigger than the room. Working with a client at the moment, and she has this incredible story of being bitten by a dog with rabies in Bali and choosing to run into the oncoming traffic because it was the only way to stop him, and the presence of mind that it took to make that decision. Now, that experience is bigger than most rooms and bigger than most people in the room. Global experience may also be, for example, you have won an Olympic gold medal. I've worked with a number of Olympic gold medalists. It might be that you actually, Taria Pitt, who in Australia everybody knows, she had this experience of being burnt alive whilst running an ultra marathon. It is an experience that is bigger than the room. And the whole idea of this is to actually lift the thinking of your audience. Like literally, if you could see them in a room, you would see them lift their eyes up. And usually that should be to focus on you, but it gets them out of their everyday, it gets them out of a story that they're involved in intimately in their own world and thinking something different. The power in a global story, though, is in that it is an incredible story and there's an element of, oh, but that will never happen to me. So it's a global story that is really big, but they're able to still feel safe in that. When they lift their perspective, they're able to still feel safe because it is big and it is powerful and it is experienced bigger than theirs. But there's an element of, in the back of their mind, oh, but that will never happen to me. And that's when you know you've nailed a global story. A global story is also really powerful and considered nailed when you can actually bring something to someone's attention that might be a global headline or global data and pull it back in story format to make it relevant to them and their world now. So that is the same thing. Within our global stories, we also have a third element, and that is actually we use global stories to bring in data and research. Now, when we do, we have to use what I call the three-phase data unfold. So we find three different points, and it might be two pieces of research or data and one story. It might be three pieces of research and data and wrapped up in a story. But if we're going to bring research and data to the table, then we actually need to have three significant chunks within that story, and we actually need to reveal them and have them build one on the other for it to meet the requirements of being an opening story. Otherwise, it's just data and numbers, and you're actually not doing what you need to do in those first moments. So that is the global story. And in pure form keynote, that one comes first. The second story, story two on the way in, is what we call a witness story. And so the witness story is actually something that is told that we have been witness to. The easiest way to explain this one is a case study if you're in business or you've been a consultant or a coach or something like that. It's a case study from your work. So you have been witness to something that a client has gone through. It is also you have been witness to something in your world. You have been witness from an observational perspective to something going on. So this is you are actually witness to it. It's not necessarily your personal story, even though you may have a hand in whatever happens with that person that you're speaking to or that event that unfolded. The qualifier for a witness story and whether or not it is yours to share is even if you don't tell the whole story, if you can't speak to the whole story and you don't have knowledge across the whole story from beginning to middle to end, then it's not your story to share. Even if you don't speak to the whole story, if you don't know the whole story, then it is not your story to share. And chances are you haven't truly been witness to it. Chances are it's third-party anecdotal stories that you know, or that it may well be an anecdote, which we'll speak about in a moment. But the whole reason of telling a witness story straight after the global story, if you remember, the global story purpose is to take people out of their current reality, to get them thinking up, to get them lifting out of their current stories themselves. And then the witness story, because it's one step removed from you, brings them one step closer back to you. And so in the pure form story, in a pure form keynote structure, the third story we use on the way in is actually personal. And this one should be self-explanatory. But personal story, as we've said over and over and over again, is also shaped to deliver on the blue apple and to be in service to your audience, not just be your personal story that you're telling. But the personal story told at position number three is because we've taken them out, we've brought them closer. With our personal story, we bring them right in to us. Now, the personal story should also deliver almost like a moment of truth. It should actually explain to our audience, without us having to scream from the rooftops, exactly why it is that they can trust us with this topic, right? It's a really, really important perspective. So they're the three stories, global, witness, and personal, that we use in a pure form keynote. There are two other stories that we also use, and they can actually come into the opening sequence. Pure form, global, witness, and personal is purely to take them out and bring them in back to you step by step. But we also have anecdotes. And anecdotes are simply stories that are known to be true and have happened in time. So they're not currently happening. Most of the time, they haven't just happened. And they're not necessarily something you are personally witness to, and they're not a personal story. So if you are personally witness to, and you, or it's a personal story, then it's not an anecdote. An anecdote is used by people about stories in the mainstream. So Steve Jobs, for example, Walt Disney, Martin Luther King, Oprah's backstory, all of these stories that are known to be true and have happened in time, but we can't necessarily, hand on our heart, say we were witness to that. Now, anecdotes are powerful, especially when you shape them to suit the blue apple. So anecdotes are simply stories of others, right? Now, one of the things I also say with anecdotes is please make sure that you're going to surprise and delight. So I mentioned a number of names there before. So Steve Jobs, for example, a lot of people will tell the story, especially in the entrepreneurship space. A lot of people will tell the story about him being exited from his own company and I guess his resurrection and what he did with Apple when he came back in. Or masters of communication and advertising and promotions will talk about his incredible storytelling skills. Those stories are becoming familiar. And so what I suggest to people, for example, if they want to speak on Steve Jobs, go and read the book about Pixar, which has incredible stories told by the founder of Pixar, because he used to take afternoon walks with Steve Jobs quite frequently. And there's these incredible stories that still speak to the same message. It's important that when you're telling anecdotes, you don't tell stories that are told over and over again. For myself and my resilience speech, I actually open with an anecdote. It's all around Thomas Edison. But it's not about his perseverance. It's not about the 100 light bulbs. It's not about any of those things. It's a story that I found written by his son, Charles, which is all about the night that his warehouse burnt to the ground and his response to that. So even though it's using a familiar icon that we all know the name of from history, the surprise and delight comes in by sharing a story that is different to what is expected. So with anecdotes, the only thing that I will say, they're incredibly powerful, but please ensure that you don't tell a story that your audience is familiar with, because they will switch off. The final story type of the five is metaphor. Now, a metaphor quite simply means this means that. Metaphors, actually Australians, for those of you listening from Australia, we speak in 400 to 600 metaphors a day. The quick sentence that we use, which is why most other English-speaking nations take some time to be able to interpret what it is that Australians are saying, even though we're all using English, because we use metaphor prolifically. Metaphors in speaking are actually story-based. They are used to distill large and complex ideas or big chunks of information to something that is simple and easy to take away for the audience. They are super powerful. Just to give you a simple explanation or example of one, years and years ago, I was teaching frontline communication skills to unskilled workers in a blue-collar workforce, and we had rooms of 30 coming through at a time to teach them communication skills. Now, these people were not my normal audience, and I had to figure out a way to get them to buy into this and to understand what they were doing. So it was a metaphor that I built deliberately, which was around Bob the Builder. Now, at the time, this is 20 years ago, at the time, Bob the Builder was a really popular children's TV show. So it was automatically a neurological loop to them. And I created a metaphor around a builder being on a double-story house with scaffolding everywhere with his tool belt around him. And then what we were going to do was to actually give them their tool belt or communication tools. And I had this whole metaphor around a builder being on scaffolding and reaching down to pull things out of his toolbox without even having to look, really. But now and again, he would need to get something bigger, and he would see him climb down the scaffolding, walk over to his truck, unlock the toolbox and grab out something bigger. And so I built that metaphor out to deliberately use to get them to buy into a big to what for them was a big concept. So metaphor is really powerful. I am going to confess here that I actually really am not great at creating metaphors, even though I think I speak in them a lot. But metaphor as a story is the most powerful way we can tell story. The whole hero's journey is actually a metaphor, right? It's how religious texts were written. They're parables. They're actually metaphors. It is how fairy tales were written for our children. They're metaphors landing on an insight or a lesson or something we want to teach our children. Metaphors are incredibly powerful. And if you master them, then please do share them with us in our social media, because they fascinate me. They are my greatest challenge when it comes to storytelling. And they are also the most powerful part of what you can master. Sometimes our global story, our witness story, our personal stories actually all become metaphors for the lessons that we're trying to land, the insights we're trying to share. So they really, really, really are quite incredible. So as we opened this episode, I talked about pure form and that the order of the stories, the three stories coming in, and their global witness and personal. But what we find is as we're putting these story types together is we actually need to learn how it is that we should actually change them around. So I said before, I open with an anecdote. Some people have two global stories and then a witness story. Some people open with metaphor. They are actually completely interchangeable. But what I want you to do if you're following along at home with this is actually understand how the pure form works and the power within that before you start interchanging. As we close out this episode, what I want you to remember is this. Deliberately using a mixture of story types in your speaking will actually broaden perspective for your audience, allow them to lean in, and remove any risk of being self-indulgent. And that is something worth investing in, right? I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Speaker Driven Business. And if you have, I'd love you to do two things for me. Number one, subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And number two, leave a review so other people can find and enjoy the content we share. Online, you can find us on Instagram and connect with me personally on LinkedIn. Just head to anygiventuesday.com.au and you will find all the connection points there. Speaker Driven Business is the show making speaking-driven strategies accessible to everyone, and I am honored you tuned in.